Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, tuned into Are You a Liability? It's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday morning from Harper Woods, Michigan. Well, on tonight, I am filling in for one of the deacons from my church, Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, Deacon Richard Dozer was supposed to be my guest on tonight, but by him being an attorney, he is unavailable to be on the program on tonight. So I am filling in for him, and we're going to reschedule him for a later date to deliver God's word. Again, that's Deacon Richard Dozer from Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. But guess what? You're still going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper, because I am going to be delivering the word on tonight. Get your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. But God's word said, my people will perish because of the lack of knowledge. And so we have quite a few scriptures that we're going to be using on tonight. So you most definitely will need your Bibles to follow along. And if you have a notepad, you might want to have a notepad available too to take down some notes. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight as we always do. I am asking the listeners to please keep my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, in prayer. He had some oral surgery done, and so I know that he most likely will not be on the line with us tonight. So we're going to ask God to continue to strengthen and heal his body in the name of Jesus. And we thank God that he allowed our sister in Christ, Gwen Walker, to arrive back safely home from her grandmother's homegoing service last weekend. So we thank God for her being back, and she's now on the line with us once again on tonight. So we are going to continue to pray for each other as we are told to do in God's word. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again touching and agreeing that you are God all by yourself, and you hold and have all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We bless your name, Heavenly Father, because you are worthy of our praise. We thank you for blessing us and allowing us to wake up and see this another day that you have made. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But we thank you that you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger as we slept through the night. Heavenly Father, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus. We continue to touch and agree on one accord that you are touching and healing. My first cousin, Pastor Norman King, right now in the name of Jesus, and not only him, we are lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife, Sister Betty Cox, who is now home from the hospital. We continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus, that you will get the glory. We continue to lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing our sister in Christ, Gwen Walker, to make it back safely home from Alabama, from the celebrating the homegoing service of her grandmother. We thank you for allowing her to make it safely back home. We lift up all those that are bereaved all over the land, touch, heal, and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up Pastor Mark C. Holloway and their family in the loss of their dear friend, who will be funeralized on this coming Saturday at the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Continue to strengthen her family and the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family as well in the name of Jesus and all those that have lost loved ones all over the land. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that should there be any listener that's not saved in Jesus' name, they will hear your word, not only hear it, but they will receive your word on tonight. They will open their hearts and minds and their own mouth, and that's what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name on tonight, that you get the glory. We continue to lift up all those that are confined behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons. Continue to let your word go forth through the prison, that they too would have an opportunity to be saved, and they would, those that are saved, that are incarcerated, their faith would be strengthened in you, that you would get the glory. So we pray now, Lord, that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you would get the glory. And we want to continue to lift up our sister Tara Doss, who is also on the line. You know what she's going through with her voice, Heavenly Father. So we ask that you will continue to strengthen her as well in the name of Jesus. We lift up Brother Rob Mitchell and his son. Continue to heal and strengthen them in the name of Jesus, that you get the glory. So now, Lord, we pray that you will have your way on tonight, that you will get the glory. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to us saying on tonight, two things that define you: your patience when you have nothing, and your attitude when you have something. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, two things that define you: your patience when you have nothing, and your attitude when you have something. I want the listeners to know and be reminded that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note, I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry platform. We are not going to do a music break on tonight because we have quite a bit of information that we want to share with you all on tonight regarding God's word. So once again, I hope and pray that you all can hear me clearly, and I pray and hope that you all have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, even notepads, and if you want to take down notes to refer to them later on after the broadcast is over. Again, we have quite a few scriptures that we're going to be dealing with. I don't have a subject for tonight because I'm going to be asking and answering a lot of questions for tonight. And that being said, we are starting with the first question on tonight. that comes to my mind, and it's simply as this. When fear or doubt arise, what make Christians continue to trust God? And I think we all can relate to that, whether we admit it or not. Sometimes we do have doubts and fears. I know I do. Sometimes they come upon us unaware. That's why we have to stay in the Word of God. So the question again on tonight, the first question tonight for all of us as Christians, when fear or doubt arise, what make Christians continue to trust God? I will start off by saying the Word of God lets us know that we must walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the Word of God tells us as Christians. We must also continue to remember God's faithfulness. At the same time, we must always remember God cannot lie. So that being said, we want to look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's see what it says to us on tonight. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all thy ways keep acknowledging him and he will direct your path. So that being said, that leads us right to the book of Hebrews. So we just read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which reminds you and me as Christians. And it says, let us then with confidence, or I'm paraphrasing, or we could say holy boldness. So once again, let us then, you and me as sisters and brothers in Christ, let us then with confidence or holy boldness draw near to the throne of grace that you and I may receive mercy and find grace in time of need in order to be able to overcome fear and doubt. My next question comes to us asking this. What does fathers don't provoke your children mean? Once again, and I'm sure we all have heard this scripture preached and taught to us about fathers not provoking your children. So we're asking the question on tonight, what does that mean? In the book, and this can also not only relate to fathers, but mothers as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says fathers, but I'm going to paraphrase and put parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the right or correct instruction of the Lord. And that is so important. And we see today, in today's society, so many parents trying to be their children's best friend. So when they do try to be serious with their children and lead them in the right direction and correct them in the fear of the Lord, the children pay them no attention because they say, the first thing they would say is, you're just like me. You're doing the same thing that I'm doing. You're supposed to be the adult, but you are trying to be like the children. You're trying to live up to, you know, how kids are dressed nowadays and the things that the children of the world like. A lot of the parents, even some in the body of Christ, you find them doing the same thing. So that's why as parents, you have to be careful how you live your life before your children. And then at the same time, Ephesians 6 and 4 is letting us know, as parents, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, again, you see in the Bible it says fathers, but I'm going to paraphrase and say parents. Parents, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged because of you. See, a lot of parents don't realize while their children, they say, why are you acting out? Why are you doing this and why are you doing that? Because they see what you're doing. and then you turn around and try to correct them. But what you're really doing is you are discouraging them because of your lifestyle that you lived before your children. And this can also relate to grandparents that are raising grandchildren. The parents may be deceased or may be incarcerated or whatever the case may be. And you may be an aunt or uncle or grandparent that's raising children. This all applies to you and me as well. So again, Colossians 3:21, again it says fathers, but I'm saying parents, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged because of you. And then we can also read in the book of Proverbs, and I'm not going to go into all of these, but you can write these down. These are some more scriptures that would be a blessing to you pertaining to not provoking your children. That's Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. And Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Those would be very helpful as well to anyone that are raising children or grandchildren that are in the body of Christ. My next question comes to us asking this: why is it important for Christians to come together in God's house to worship? If you're writing this down, I'm going to say it again. Why is it important for Christians to come together in God's house to worship? In other words, how to come into God's house and worship Him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I'll give you a chance to get there. Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Says unto you and me on tonight regarding why it's important for us to come into the house of God together, sisters and brothers in Christ. And it says, all Christians, I'm paraphrasing, all Christians are one body of Christ. Again, all Christians, it don't matter what denomination you are in, if you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body of Christ. So in other words, we're saying all Christians are one body of Christ Jesus. That's why we must not forsake coming together or paraphrasing or meeting together for worshiping together with one another in person in church in the Lord's house, where we also are partakers of the Lord's Supper together as believers in Him. Not only God, but we are also believers in Jesus Christ, His Son. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 26. Again, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse number 26. Reads, which is Christians, not just a Christian, but Christians. We're talking about sisters and brothers in Christ. And we're talking about, and I'm going to paraphrase because this is a public proclamation. We are showing the world, those that are believers in Christ, even those that are not saved in Jesus' name, this is a public supplication of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also helps us encourage each other to stay strong and keep our trust and faith in God, in His word and His promises. So those are some of the reasons why is it very important for us to come together as sisters and brothers in the body of Christ, to come together in the Lord's house. He said, don't forsake to assemble ourselves together in His house to give Him glory, honor, and praise. But while we are in the Lord's house giving Him glory, honor, and praise, He is sitting in glory, looking down on us as we give Him glory, worship, and praise, because we are the apple of His eye. And He gets great pleasure when we come together on one accord, giving Him worship, glory, and praise in the name of Jesus. So now the next question comes to us asking this: what does being a living testimony mean? What do you being a living testimony mean? What do that mean to you on tonight as a Christian? Well, it should mean that it is evidence or paraphrasing or proof of the truthfulness of a fact. It is proof that something happened. It is proof. It is showing our sisters and brothers in Christ, even those that are not saved in Jesus' name, it should be showing them what God is doing or has done in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. You and I, as Christians, or a person can be a living testimony of God's power in their life or lives, and be an example to others, even today. See, a lot of people don't want to be an example. They don't want to be a living testimony in today's society. Some, not all, but some. Some Christians don't want to do that because they are so caught up into the world that they are lukewarm Christians. They're saying one thing with their mouth. Yes, they may go to church on Sunday and give God glory, honor, and praise, but during the week or any other day, you will find them acting and carrying on just like the people that's not saved in Jesus' name, people of the world. So that's why as Christians, we should want to live our lives as a testimony for Jesus. And we also must do this by loving God, our Heavenly Father, which is our Creator. We must do this by loving Him above anyone or anything else. So he says, you know, we shouldn't put no other God before Him because He is a jealous God. So again, as Christians, we should want to live our lives as a testimony for Jesus Christ by loving God, our Heavenly Father, and our Creator, for those that are saved in Jesus' name, above anything else. We don't want to put anyone else or anything else above God. As well, we must also love others above ourselves, just like Jesus, our perfect example, did. Even when He was here in the flesh, He showed us His love. He showed us how we should always realize and recognize who God, our Creator, is, and that we should always keep Him first place in our lives. So when we, as believers, share with others what Jesus has done in our lives and we serve God, see, that's a twofold thing right there. We are showing and we are sharing with others, believers in Christ and those that are not saved. We are sharing and showing them that what Jesus has done in our lives as Christians at the same time while we continue to serve God and others in tangible ways. He is increasingly reflects the life giving power of Christ Jesus, talking about God the Father now. He will increasingly reflect the life giving power of Christ Jesus in a dark and a dismal and sinful world. So as believers in Christ Jesus, when we are following and trying to be just like Jesus, and we're trying to do the things that He has ordained and asked us to do as followers of Christ, we should look to Jesus, our perfect example. And then, just like Jesus shared the good news, he was always walking from city to city, all over the place, sharing the gospel, being a witness for God the Father, even though He is a part of the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but He was in the flesh at the time when He was doing these things. So at the time when He was in this, He could not do these things in the spirit. So that's why He came down from glory in the form of flesh as a baby, as a human being, to show us the way that we should carry ourselves just like He did. Again, so He's our perfect example. And He is showing us in tangible ways that He, God, is increasingly reflects the lives, the life-giving power of Jesus Christ into this dark and dismal and sinful world, because we know that it is sinful. And this is a dark age that we are living in. That's why the Word of God says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And He says in His Word that greater is He that is in us as Christians than he that is in the world. And we can do greater things, greater works, the Word of God says, that we as Christians will be able to do if we just reflect on the Word of God and the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ that resides in each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15 says to you and I on tonight, you my sister, you my brother, it says this, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, not just with your mouth, but with your hearts, in your hearts, I'm paraphrasing, and then he says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man or woman or boy or girl that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, or I'm going to paraphrase once again, or reverence because of who God is. I'm going to say that again because a lot of Christians really miss that when it says we should always be ready to give an answer because God may put us in a situation or a place that someone that's not saved in Jesus' name would ask us this question, why did you serve the Lord? Why have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why do you believe in him? Why do you continue to serve him while you're going through your trials and tribulations? Why do you do these things? So that's why the Word of God in 1 Peter lets us know, again, in verse chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, not sometime, but always be ready to give an answer to every man or mankind that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence of who God is. So we don't have to be arrogant when we are telling them about why our hope and our faith and our trust is in God. We don't want it to do with arrogance because we can turn people away from God and they will never accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of our nasty attitudes and because we may be looking down on them because we think we are better than they are because we are saved in Jesus' name and they're not. So that's why we have to be very careful when we are being used by God. Then we come down to another question. Why is it important to love and forgive like Jesus? And that's a good question because a lot of Christians find that hard to do. And the Word of God says, with God, all things are possible. So you and I as Christians, if we are truly saved in Jesus' name, we should not find it hard to love and forgive just like Jesus did. But guess what? We were not hung up on the cross. We were not sped up on. We were not abused and criticized and brutalized and whipped and beaten and sped up on again. We did not go through all of that, but Jesus did in the flesh. So if he can forgive you and I, we are to forgive as well. So again, the question is, why is it important to love and forgive like Jesus? I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how many people talk about you. Again, they talked about Jesus. They lied on him. They made all kind of accusations against him, which they knew was not true. So you may know some people that may be telling lies on you. But I heard that a lot of different preachers said in this way, if they are telling lies on you, what you need to do is make sure that it's not true. Now, that's good. That's a good word right there. If they are lying on you, make sure that it's not true what they are saying about you. So, again, as far as this question goes, as Christians, you my sister, you my brother in Christ, we must love and forgive others just like Jesus did. When he said, as he was dying on the cross, and it goes back to what I just said, when Jesus was nailed to the cross and he was dying for your sins and my sins, our sins of the past, present and future, Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 23, verse number 24. Again, that's found in Luke chapter 3, verse number 24. Then Jesus said, He didn't pick this. He said it with his own mouth. I'm paraphrasing when I said, Jesus, then Jesus said, not thought. He didn't think it in his mind. He said it with his own mouth while he was on the cross. Jesus said from his own mouth, I'm talking to God now on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, that's powerful right there within itself. So if Jesus is hanging on the cross, which he did, and he died for you and for me, if he can forgive sinful men and women for what they did to him on the cross, if he could do that, then that lets us know that we too can forgive, and then we can love people at the same time, just like Jesus did. And then to answer that question even further, go to the book of John, chapter 15, verse number 13. Again, John, chapter 15, verse number 13, and it says to us on tonight, greater love has no man or no one than this, than to lay down his own life for his friend. So that being said, as Christians, we too must always show love, and not only love, but we must show compassion. Then we must also learn how to forgive, again, just like Jesus did. Because Jesus had no respect of persons, when it came down to forgiving and loving and showing compassion to others, we should be the same way. We should be doing it from our hearts, just like Jesus did. So I'm going to say that again. You and me, as sisters and brothers in Christ, we should always, not sometime, because I thank God that he's looking at our hearts. And love is an action word. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But love is an action word. Love is what it does, not just what it says. So Jesus proved that to us in the world. So as Christians, we too must always show love, not only love, but show compassion. And then we must also forgive, just like Jesus. Again, because he has no respect of person. And just like Jesus, God has no respect of person. But we must forgive, we must show compassion, and we must love from our hearts. Not only those that are saved in the body of Jesus Christ, but even to those that are not saved yet. So we're going to get ready to go to a short music break. We're going to come back. We're going to go to a few other questions before we close out for tonight. And I hope and pray that you all are being blessed by these questions on tonight. And hopefully some of these scriptures are backing up what God is saying to you and I on tonight as sisters and brothers in Christ. But we're going to go to our music break right now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to tie up this message for tonight.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
Yes, yes, yes. Aren't you grateful that Jesus thought that your life and my life was worth living, that he came down and he sacrificed his own life for you and for me? Thank you, Jesus. So now we're getting back to our last part of the question for tonight. My next question was, or is, what is the difference between grace and mercy? There is a difference. A lot of people don't understand or don't know what the difference is. That's why I'm bringing this question on tonight for the listeners. What is the difference between grace and mercy? Thank God for both. Well, it is simply said to us tonight, I'm going to start with mercy. Mercy is having or showing compassion for sinners from God. What did you just say? I'm going to say it again. Mercy is having or showing compassion for sinners from God. Sometimes mercy is shown to lawbreakers or offenders by earthly human beings or judges or those in authority. Sometimes they have the right or position that they can show mercy to someone. But I love how God does, how God shows his mercy towards each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. So, again, we do see as lawyers, sometimes prosecutors, sometimes judges, sometimes lawyers, even police officers, they would use their authority sometimes by showing mercy to someone that they know deserve to be punished, but for some reason they will show them some mercy. Mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment. So just like sometimes human beings will forgive others, we too, as Christians, being sinners, we don't deserve God's mercy because we are sinners. Those of us that are saved by grace, thank God we are saved by grace. But we thank God for his mercy because he withheld the punishment that we deserve. And he did it through his son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. So grace is the act of the endowing or showing unmerited or unearned favor from God or man. So again, just like mercy, God has a role in this too. I like God's role regarding grace. He shows his grace toward you and me, sinners, is an act that he extends to us of endowing or showing unmerited or unearned favor from God. He don't have to do that, but he does. Because why? He loves us and he want to give us a chance to be saved in his son Jesus' name. In his mercy, talking about God still, in his mercy, God does not give you, me, or anyone else punishment for what we deserve as a sinner saved by grace. Aren't you grateful on tonight that God don't give us what we deserve? He extends his grace to us. Grace, namely hail, H-E-L-L, yes, hell, the lake of fire, where Satan and his imps will be spending eternity in, and anyone else that do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior while they have a chance. Grace, thank God that grace is keeping us that has accepted his son Jesus Christ. God gives us his gift, the gift that we do not deserve, which is called heaven. So grace, again, we don't deserve to go to heaven, but we thank God for Jesus Christ who made it possible for you and I and anyone else that gives their life to Jesus Christ. Because of God's grace, we don't go to hell, what we should be ended up in, But because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God gives us another alternative, and that's called heaven. Again, we don't deserve to go there, but because of Jesus, we who are accepting him or have accepted him because of his grace and mercy are the grace and mercy of God are the utmost attributes of love. That's what Jesus does and God does for you and I. That's his utmost attributes of showing his love toward us, and that is through his grace and his mercy. If you need more information returning to grace and mercy, you can go find that in the book of Titus. I didn't add any scriptures to that, but you can look it up. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Once again, if you need more information or more words regarding God's grace and mercy toward each one of us, Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Now, this part of grace is we are referring to those that may be listening on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name, who have not given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, who have not asked Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. This part of grace is for you on tonight. Yes, God has something in here for you as well, for the unsaved. Grace. There is nothing no one can do to be saved from God's wrath. You, me, you, my sister, you, my brother, we cannot earn God's grace. We cannot earn it, and we can never do enough to achieve it. I'm glad you asked me to repeat that, because I'm going to repeat that again, because someone needed to hear that. Grace, God's grace. There is nothing no one can do to be saved from God's wrath. You, my sister, you, my brother, or even myself, we can't earn it. We cannot earn God's grace. And guess what? We cannot ever do enough to achieve it. So if anyone that is listening on tonight, and you know that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have not acknowledged him as your personal Lord and Savior, that you are a sinner and you know it, you must first believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then you must open your mouth and ask him to forgive you of your sins. In other words, you must truly repent. And then not only that, but you must turn from your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts and save you. And he would do that even on tonight if you just open your mouth and ask. He's waiting on you. So in other words, you can too receive this free gift of grace, which is also can be used as a word for salvation on tonight. It's free. You don't have to pay. You cannot pay anything for it. You can't earn it. You cannot pay for it. It's free. It's a free gift from God. What a great gift to receive from our Heavenly Father and our Creator. And my final question on tonight comes to us asking, faith without works is dead. Why? Unfortunately, there are many Christians that do not really understand this question talking about faith without works is dead. They ask this question all the time. What do that mean? Faith without works is dead. And the Bible tells us why it says that. If you turn to the book of James, chapter 2, verse number 19. Again, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, says that even demons believe. Even the demons, they do believe. But likewise, they say they believe in God while showing, just like some people, they say they believe in God while showing no evidence of faith. Wow. Because you know what? Just as I said earlier, faith is an action word. So again, the word of God is letting us know. He's letting you and me know on tonight. Even demons, not only demons, but some people, they say they believe in God, but they are not showing any evidence or no signs of faith. Again, it shows us that faith is an action word. If a person if a person's faith is not accompanied by works. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. It's an action where you must be doing something. If a person's faith is not accompanied by works, it cannot deliver a person from their need. Here's a good example. If someone needs food, spiritually or natural food, we find in the book of James chapter 2, verse 15, it says, if the person who has faith does not meet the need of the person or people with the need, they will still be in need. I don't know if you all caught that, but I'm going to say it again just in case if someone missed it. And it's very important. If you are a Christian, you my sister, you my brother, if you say that you have accepted Jesus Christ and you are standing on faith, again, it's an action word, and it breaks it down what I just said. I'm going to repeat it. If a person's faith is not accompanied by works, so a lot of people do a lot of talking, but they're not doing nothing, and God is not pleased with that. So that's why I think it bears being said again that if a person's faith is not accompanied by works, it cannot deliver a person from their need. As we said, here's a good example. If you know someone or if you see someone that needs food, whether it be spiritual food, a word from the Lord, or it could be natural food. It could be someone that's standing on the street that say they're hungry. And you know that you can do something to be a blessing to them to help them, but you don't. You're saying one thing with your mouth, but your actions is showing something different. And that's not God-like, and God is not pleased with that. When we say we love people, just like Jesus did, so that's why it's important that we know that we are standing and living and working through faith. So it's saying again in James chapter 2, verse 15, it's letting you and I know that if the person who has faith, if you and I have faith, we say we have faith in God, but we do not meet the needs of the person or the people that need us to intervene on their behalf and that we can be a blessing to them, but we don't do it. Guess what? Those people or that person will still be in need, and God will not be glorified through that. So that's, again, that's an action word. Jesus saw the need for us. He saw the need that he knew that if he did not come down from the cross, if he did not come down from glory first and foremost, if he did not come down from glory in the form of a baby to pay our sin debt with his blood, that we would not have a chance. Every last one of us would be doomed for hell. But because of his love for God the Father first, and because of his love for you and I, and even those that are not yet saved in Jesus' name, that we'll confess him sooner or later, hopefully sooner. See, that again, that's an action where Jesus showed his love toward us. That's why it's letting us know that if we don't do what we're supposed to do and we say we have faith in God and we're standing on God's word, the word of God is letting us know that those people that we know that need our help and we say we have faith in God and we don't do nothing to help them, that person or those people will still be in need. That same thing applies to love. That same thing applies to forgiving others. That same thing applies to showing compassion for others. So I hope and pray that something has been said on tonight that will provoke or prick your hearts and your minds, so that you do an self-examination as to where you are in the Lord with these different questions and the scripture that was added to the question. I hope that you was blessed by this message on tonight, that God would be glorified. So what I'm going to do right now, again, I stood in for Deacon Dozer from Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. He is an attorney. He texted me and said that he would not be able to be on the air with us on tonight, but he will be on at a later date. We're going to continue to pray for Deacon Dozer. Someone needs to mute their phones. Hold on just 1 second. I'm going to mute the. I'm hearing some background noise. Hold on just 1 second. I'm opening up the phone lines right now. But that's what I'm doing. It's opening up the phone lines for anyone that may have a question pertaining to tonight's message. So the phone lines are open right now. Is there anyone on the line that have a question pertaining to tonight's message? Or if you want to say anything else that will give God glory, you have an opportunity to do so now. The phone lines are open.
The request. Hey, Brother Brown.
Yes, Deacon Cox.
Yeah, how you doing? That was a wonderful message right there. And you asked a question. Oh, and to all the listeners, you know, I thank them. But you asked a question, and it was pertaining to faith and works. You said faith without works is dead. And you know how my mind works. But the point that I want to make is that to all of us that used to wear those jerry curls, I don't care what they did to your hair, if they didn't splash no curl activator in your hair, you wouldn't go get no curl. And
I
so,
knew that, right.
And so without the activator, which is the works, because the works activate the faith.
That's
so
right.
They got to work. They got to work. They got to work together. So
that's
my
right.
Faith and my works is my faith activator, because
all
we
right.
Must continue to do the work of Him that sent us. And when we do the work of Him that sent us, this means that sometimes, because see, faith is not the wishes of man, but it's the will of God. Because
amen.
People say, I got faith, I'm going to get that house. I got faith. But no, we rely on God's will, because God don't deal in those wishes. So I would just like to say that the faith is the works is the activator for the faith. And once again, you did a good job. And once again, I just thank you. So, and God bless you and continue. Amen.
I appreciate those words of encouragement, Deacon Marvin Cox, to know that we are still praying for you and your wife, Betty. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else?
Brother Brown, I'd like to thank you for your prayers for me and my family as we travel down south to the country. You know, you asked the question, why it's important for Christians to come together to worship God. Well, you know, that
yes.
is extremely important. You know, when the virus hit us, that had a tremendous effect on the body of Christ, because we could not worship and praise God together. We need that fellowshipping and that spiritual uplift when all the Christians come together on one accord. We all need that.
Amen.
Amen.
You hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right. I thank you for those powerful words of encouragement. Anyone else?
But not much of a chance. Yes, I'm here to tell you that I want to tell you that I really enjoyed it. You keep the works up.
Amen. We thank God for you, Aunt Essie, down in Greensboro, North Carolina. We thank God for you. And you keep the faith. You keep your faith and trust in God. You keep your hands in God's hands, as I know you are.
Oh, yeah.
Know that we love you, and we definitely continue to lift you up in prayer. Amen.
All
thank
right.
you.
Yeah. Amen.
Anyone else? Amen. Again, we have Sister Kara Doss. She is a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. She is on the line right now. Again, we want to continue to lift her up in prayer. Because she has had surgery on her throat, but the enemy is trying to not let her get healed. But we are touching and agreeing and claiming healing for her in the name of Jesus. And for those of you that do not know, that she's in searching for a brand new house, and we are touching and agreeing that God is going to lead her to the house that He wants her to have, where she can have peace, and she will be able to give God glory, honor, and praise in her new home. So we are claiming it to be so, because, like the pastor, like the minister said on last Sunday for Men's Day, Peace and Goodwill, because I said so. So we thank God for Sister Chera Doss on tonight for dialing in, even though she wants to speak, but we know that she can't. So God, he's searching your heart. He knows what's in your heart. Anyone else before we close out for tonight? Anyone else?
It's clear. And to get him
on. Also, we want to continue to keep Pastor Norman King, my cousin, in prayer. He had oral surgery on yesterday, and so we know that God is still a healer even through when we have surgery done on our mouths, that God is still a healer. So we pray that he have a full recovery and that all goes well with him. So we get ready to close out for tonight. Please tune in on this coming Saturday night. I have a husband and wife pastor team that's going to be a tag team message. Pastor Gerald and Pastor Harold Irving will be my special guests on this coming Saturday night. August the 6th at 8 o'clock p.m., Pastor Gerald and his wife, Pastor Carol Irving, will be my guests on this coming Saturday night. You do not want to miss this awesome couple, married couple, that's going to be sharing the Word of God with us on this coming Saturday night. I thank God for each one of you, as I always say, and it's true, that I love each one of you. I pray for you all constantly. I thank God for this worldwide ministry platform. I don't take it lightly or for granted. I continue to pray for you all, and I'm asking you all to continue to pray for me and this worldwide ministry platform, that God will continue to be glorified through it, that souls will continue to be saved through it, through his word, that backsliders will have an opportunity to be able to come back to the fold, and that God will continuously be glorified through this worldwide platform. We're going to close out tonight in prayer as we always do. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we come now once again touching and agreeing that you are God all by yourself. We thank you for your word that has gone forth on tonight. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. We cannot do enough to earn it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, you are still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, and you have and hold all power in heaven and earth within your hands. So now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit, continue to bless the people of God that are trying to be faithful doers of your word, and not just hearers only, all over the land. We thank God, we thank you that you have no respect of persons. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word. You are not like man. We love you. We bless your name. We give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, know that I love you all. Continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but with God's word. And when you do it that way, you cannot go wrong, and God will be glorified. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Remember, tune in this coming Saturday night and be blessed by another word. We're going to close out with our opening song on tonight. We're going to close it out with the same song as our closing song on tonight, War. This means war, because we are in a spiritual war. Good night.
While I pray, no matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means